Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our fallback edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And as we were switching hours over here, you heard us heard an invitation to join the Animal World family of advertisers. Boy, we'd love to have you. And you don't have to have something to advertise that relates to animals, because we address the human animal all the time. As long as you do something great and good for animals, humans, or the planet we live on, we'd love to have you join the Animal World family of advertisers. And right now, we've got the hottest deal ever
For as little $26 a month, a week, you can have an ad on the show, links on the website, and interview on the show. You can't beat that. You can't afford not to do that. So if you're interested in joining the Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need my services as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, you need to know that I've been doing this professionally for, like 50 years now. I specialize, of course, in dogs and cats, and I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. And like I said, I travel, so like I said, I was all the way down way south of Olympia yesterday. I had a fabulous session down there. And I'd love to hear from you, and whether you're interested in advertising on Animal World or hiring me as an animal behavior therapist or trainer, you can reach me by emailing me, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. You can use that during the week as well, because I get those emails now, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or you can just pick up your phone and call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Alrighty then, business taken care of, and now I'm delighted to say that after what seems like forever, because I think she's developed wings and has been traveling all over the place, but finally she's with us again, and that would be the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. That's how we know her anyway. Aline Forkane is here. Good morning, Aline.
Good morning, Martha.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, I've been doing some traveling. This is true.
You have, and boy, have we missed you.
Well, thank you. That's nice to say.
You should know when you're out there winging around, you are missed on Animal World. Because you've been even out of the country.
Right. Yes, I have. And as a matter of fact, I visited a soon-to-be sanctuary in France. It's
wow.
It's located in the central part of France, the Limousin area, that's better. And these two founders had both been elephant keepers and at a zoo, I believe it was in Denmark. Now, I can't quite remember which zoo it was. But anyway, they have many years of experience with elephants and came to realize that elephants do not belong in zoos.
Isn't that the truth? Hello? Oh, we're losing you.
Oh, I'm here. I'm on my landline.
I know you're on a landline. But we had... we had some of that echo stuff in the first call, and that was also a landline. So I don't know what's going on with our phones. We'll just make the best of it.
Okay.
We have Mike to fix things.
Anyway, so what I was saying is I visited this about 90 acres, and they're in the process of fencing it, and they've already had to turn down two elephants, which is really sad. A circus was retiring their elephants and offered the elephants to them, but they weren't prepared. They still don't have the funding to complete the fencing and building out of the barn, and so those poor elephants wound up getting sold to a zoo. So that was just heartbreak. But yeah, hopefully they'll be up and running in the next couple of years and can accept elephants.
Well, and I wonder what kind of a climate is it there?
It's a little bit warmer than our climate here in Seattle.
So a little bit better.
It's definitely warmer. I'm sorry. Yes, it is incredibly warmer. They might get a day of snow, but it's nothing. It's warmer and drier than here.
Oh, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's on, like I said, like 90 acres. And, it's rolling hills and it's forest and it's, lots of grassland. I mean, we kind of walked up to the high point and you could just survey it all. It was just, it'd be just so divine for these elephants who have just been trapped in zoos and circuses.
Well, because that's something, we haven't really talked about, but, I was telling everybody, before this hour that we're kind of going to start branching out now. When we are so fortunate to have you with us, we'll be checking on, our own elephants that we care about, but also other elephants around, the world. But also we're going to branch out to other kinds of animals. And
right.
We're going to finish up today with, you've got panda news for us.
Right. Well, I wish it was news, but it's just information about the animal and about the ridiculous idea of bringing them to Seattle or the Puget Sound region.
Okay. Well, so we'll finish up with that today. I just wanted to say on record that certainly, because I know that you support all kinds of animal organizations and you know, situations with wildlife and so forth going on around the world, that we can certainly branch out, mm-hmm. and cover more stuff. So let's find out. I think the last time you were on the air, I think, was earlier in the summer. But I know the last time that we exchanged a bunch of information was towards the end of August, even though you weren't able to join us for that first Sunday of September. I remember reporting on, the horrendous stuff that was going on back there at Oklahoma.
Right,
so
yeah.
Since the last time I talked, I know that the very sad news of Chai had passed, which was very, very sad.
And we believe preventable.
Yeah, that was the really, really sad part. I was appalled when I read the reports that you sent me of how much she had deteriorated and so forth, and yet nothing was done.
Right, and you know, we have filed a USDA complaint, and we're still waiting on that. But yeah, we allege negligence and substandard care. You know, we believe that she lost 1,000 pounds. It wasn't monitored properly. You know, in third world countries, elephants who don't have teeth are kept alive and thriving. By the way, they mash up their food, and the elephant does well.
Uh-huh.
That was not done for Chai. You know, the Oklahoma City Zoo said she had a quote unquote funky teeth, and you know, it was well known that Woodland Park Zoo was aware of her teeth for 20 years, and were not concerned about it. So I think that might have been a false way of, you know, looking at what the problem was. But
yeah.
the necropsy said she died of two things. Emaciation, which is starvation, and she had bacteria or infection in her bloodstream. And what we know is that she had 25 pus-filled abscesses on the side of her body. They were never treated with antibiotics, topical or, you know, ingested.
Systemic.
She was just not treated for them.
You got to say, you know, what on earth were they thinking or not thinking? It just doesn't make any logical sense.
Well, I hope that our filing complaints, you know, will bring up the level of veterinary care there.
That was one of my first questions. Was I know that there you did file complaints because of the care that Chai did not receive.
Right.
You know, and the very sad, you know, passing and how that all went down. But nothing has come of that yet.
Well, we actually did get a letter back from the Oklahoma Board of Veterinary Medical Examiners, and in, I think it was 3 sentences, they said they dismissed the case. Now, you know, you have Oklahoma, it's sort of like the fox guarding the hen house here.
Right.
So, but, you know, what we're really hopeful for is that the USDA will take some action, because that would be, you know, would be less biased, if you will.
Well, yeah, and it's certainly... I mean, it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't take some action when you read the story, you know, when you know about, you know, that 1,000 pounds of weight loss, that we've known that there's a tooth issue with all of those abscesses on her body and nothing ever being treated, and cause of death being, you know, a systemic blood infection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, duh. I mean, you know, it will be really, really shocking if they don't take some action.
Yeah, I you know, I comfort myself when it comes to Chai and most of elephants in zoos and circuses when they pass away, that is actually their passage into freedom.
Absolutely,
and that's how I comfort myself, because it is really sad, and she suffered her entire life. She could be the poster child of what is wrong with the zoo industry when it comes to keeping elephants and, worse, breeding elephants into an inhumane situation. I mean, zoos cannot come close to replicating the social conditions or the physical conditions that elephants need. I mean, this is an ancient species that has been around for 40 million years. And, you know, they are highly intelligent. They are far-ranging. and to put them in a hot-wired, tiny yard for life is unconscionable.
Yeah, and when we now are able to see how intelligent and how closely aligned their intelligence and emotional energy is with humans.
Mm-hmm.
They are a self-aware species. They recognize themselves in mirrors and so forth. I recently posted just a wonderful little video on Facebook of this elephant painting, an elephant. And it's just amazing what they're capable of doing. And then, we know about the incredible emotional bonds and how strong the elephant family is, and them staying together. But then their intuitive skills in terms of, a lot of the stories that we've heard about, wonderful people caring for elephants. And then when those humans pass, somehow the elephants know and make 200-mile treks to go and honor the human, that saved them. It just is amazing. And I think it's just only a matter of time until our consciousness evolves to the point of waking up. And elephants in zoos will become part of the past, as orcas and dolphins and marine mammals in aquariums, and then of course it'll be time to let go of zoos entirely.
So I need to tell you, Martha, mm-hmm. twice while you were talking, some announcement came on. So
yeah.
I had a hard time hearing you. So I don't know if your listeners are hearing that announcement that's like kind of talking over you. But just wanted to make you aware of that. I could hear what you were saying, and you're absolutely right. They're highly intelligent problem solvers.
Okay, well, that helped Mike. Mike, because he wasn't aware of that. Now he's doing something. So
yeah, good,
thank you
good.
For telling us that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a thumbs up now. So whatever
okay,
it was
good.
That brought it to it. Maybe that had something to do with why we were hearing weird things. No, it didn't. That's a different problem. Okay. All right. So now, is there any time frame or feedback from the USDA on this investigation?
No, they work on their own schedule. I mean, we're hoping that we can find out something soon. And hopefully that will put pressure on the Oklahoma City Zoo to just let Bamboo go. I mean, she's just a dark cloud over their zoo. Just as the elephant program was a dark cloud over Woodland Park Zoo. There's movement growing there. There's a Facebook page there that now people can like. It's called Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, OFE, Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, and that's growing. And they're reporting on, what's going on with the elephants at the zoo there. Bamboo's having a really, really hard time there. She's it's physically and psychologically unhealthy for her. I don't know if you want to get into that now, but it started out where she was aggressive towards the keepers. She would swing her trunk out and try to slap them or hit them.
I don't remember hearing about that. That's something
yeah.
that's news
oh,
to
yeah.
me. So she had difficulty with relating to the human keepers.
Oh yes, and and the keepers have to stand behind this yellow line so that they can't, they're actually physically out of reach. But she tried. She's not happy, and then she was attacked. Her tail was attacked three times. And the last attack, the elephant bit off 2 inches or amputated 2 inches of the end of her tail. Then she was attacked, and she had a 6-inch gash in her trunk. And then there's some unexplained injuries. She had swelling on her abdomen. She had a swelling above one of her eyes. And then she had a fissure and skin abrasion on her hip. So, we feel these attacks are ongoing. We don't know if all of them are being reported because, of course, that doesn't look very good.
And, of course, they aren't monitoring them all the time either, so
No. They
may not know what happens.
No, but I will tell you this. Is that not unlike Woodland Park Zoo, where Bamboo was separated from the other elephants, Bamboo is being separated frequently from the other elephants. The Seattle Times reported about a third of the time, and then in our USDA complaint, we counted up, and we found that was true also. About a third of the time, she is separated in the barn while the others may be outside. So she's in isolation.
Well, and then there was an incident. I think she didn't she push a baby elephant around or something? Because we knew that she didn't get along with anyone other than Chai, and that's been known forever about her.
Right.
And of course, you know, Woodland Park and Oklahoma City Zoo said when, you know, the elephants were transferred back there, you know, gave everybody this just big song and dance about, oh, how they'll integrate with the herd and become, Bamboo will be the matriarch of this younger herd of elephants and everything's going to be just Jim Dandy. And of course, there, you know, it's no, it wasn't, it isn't. Chai's already dead. Bamboo's on her way, because hasn't she also lost a lot of weight now?
Yeah, she's lost about 1,000 pounds also, but she was, you know, I think she was considered overweight, so that wasn't as alarming, but I am concerned, and I hope they are at Oklahoma City Zoo.
Well, 1,000 pounds is 1,000 pounds.
Exactly.
And that's how much Chai had lost before she passed.
Right, but so. She was thin to begin with, so that was, you know,
it was,
you
worse
know,
for
everything
her.
Is of concern. The fact that she's not integrating, and you brought up, you know, Ashara. Ashara was the baby who's like, she's about 2 years old. Bamboo pushed her. She rolled under the hot wire. They then turned off the electricity and righted Ashara. But, you know, this will continue. This will continue.
Yeah,
and
it's not
Oklahoma
gonna get any...
Zoo simply said, oh, this is normal. This is what elephants do in the wild. Well, yes, there may be altercations between elephants or rough play, but the difference is they have the ability to escape.
Yeah.
They can flee. In a zoo, as small as all these elephant yards are, these elephants are trapped within hot wire, and they are smart animals. They know if they go into that hot wire, they're going to be zapped, and they're going to be, you know, electrocuted. It's going to hurt. And so they are trapped, and that torment of knowing that there is no way to escape, that's got to play on their minds and be very, very stressful.
Well, absolutely, and you know, being an animal behavior therapist myself, you know, I can say that in most animals' worlds, you know, the best defense to them is a powerful offense. So if they feel threatened, they're going to try to act as tough and as nasty as possible to convince who's ever threatening them they're too tough to mess with. Now, and I'm sure on a certain level, you know, that could be where, you know, Bamboo comes from, because she's isolated. She has no, you know, her only friend in the world is gone. And obviously she never had the upbringing that a normal elephant would have, you know, within the social herd, and, you know, with her mom and family raising her. It terribly stressful. And of course, you know, all the people that I work with and the communicators and so forth, I mean, we all check in, and of course have been sending prayers and energy and that sort of stuff. And, you know, Darcy has reported a number of times that Bamboo is just absolutely miserable and beside herself.
It's just so sad. And
now, Kathy pointed out something good, too. She just typed up here when we were talking about that Bamboo was considered overweight. And Kathy typed in here, overweight due to sedentary and stressful lifestyle, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, I think we need to take a little time out here, because we got to take care of advertisers. And we'll do that quickly here and come back, and then let's talk more about where things stand for our beloved Bamboo and what, if anything, we can do at this point, you know, to help. So stay right where you are, everybody. Aline Fortgang is here, the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and you're really, you know, our animal world elephant expert. And we're branching into other animals as well this hour. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Have you heard about energy balancing for animals? Elite master of the bioenergetic synchronization technique, Nels Rasmussen, has been creating transformations in health, mobility, and athletic performance in dogs, cats, and horses for over 30 years. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, yo, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're midway through. I just had to double check with my brain because I look at the clock and it says 11:27, but that's because our clocks haven't fallen back. We are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here until noon. It's a shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And we are chatting currently with the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and that, of course, is our wonderful friend and animal advocate around the world, Aline Fortgang. And I want to welcome Aline back to the show. And are we having a problem? We are having a problem. Ah, there she is. Aline, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. Well, apparently the station is still running an hour behind. Okay, Mike's here and on top of it, and we're here, but the station is going to take a while to catch up, I think. Anyway, Aline, it just is so sad, especially when you tune into the energy and how Bamboo is feeling. I mean, we do know that she very much appreciates the prayer and the light and the love and that everybody's sending, and she's saying that's the only thing that's helping her at this point. But I know now that they're with this newer organization, the Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, that I know I signed a petition. We had that posted for a while that there was a petition for releasing Bamboo to the sanctuary.
Yes, it's over 200,000 signatures.
And, wow.
We're just in the planning stages of how best to present that to the Zoo Trust Board, which is what it's called, and the city council there, because that zoo, the Oklahoma City Zoo, is owned by the city. I would like to get back, I'd like to continue talking about Bamboo, because there are more issues with her that we, your listeners need to know, and that is that she is having horrible, horrible foot problems, like almost as extreme as she's ever had in her life. She's got, she's got cuticle problems where, she's infected. It's just, you know, she's just having a horrible time of that. And
don't they, elephants in the wild don't have these foot problems? That's because they walk so much, isn't
it? Exactly. This foot disease is caused by the lack of movement and standing on hard surfaces. And, you know, even
so it's strictly environmentally related. It's the habitat related.
It's the zoo environment that causes foot disease, and foot disease is the number one killer of elephants, you know, who are in zoo confinement and circuses. And, you know, so she has, you know, foot infection, she has pus-filled cuticle abscesses, she has swelling, inflammation. We have pictures of like a piece of her nail gone.
It's just horrible.
And a freelance photojournalist was just at Oklahoma City, and he took some really good videos and pictures, and you know, she's constantly holding up her left front leg and her right rear leg, and she's just, you can just tell she's in so much pain. It's heartbreaking. And then on top of that, she's got constant colic, you know, which is very painful. And she's had a history of that even when she was here at Woodland Park Zoo.
It seems
to me that it's more frequent now. And so she's just, you know, there's nothing good happening for her. Everything in her life is just not good, physically and psychologically. It's just very unhealthy for her, and I wonder, with this,
we know that there's the local group back there now, the Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, and folks, you can follow them on Facebook. You know, is it similar what's going on back there is kind of what happened here in Seattle with the zoo just wasn't interested in hearing from us? And I know you said that the Oklahoma Zoo is owned by the city. A similar relationship to here. We know that the city council could have saved these elephants here in Seattle if they'd wanted to, but they weren't willing to do it.
Well, let's say that Sally Bagshaw and Bruce Harrell weren't willing. We would have had a majority if they hadn't changed their mind and decided to vote against expediting an ordinance that would have directed the zoo. Now, although Woodland Park Zoo is not owned by the city, yes, in the operating agreement there is a clause where the city council would have authority over the disposition of the animals.
And yeah, so that was a shame. But is it the same sort of thing going on back at Oklahoma, or are they just not?
In Oklahoma, the zoo is owned by the city. The mayor is on the zoo board, it's the beginning. You know, it's starting. The momentum is growing, and you know they are where we were, you know, years ago,
and
they're starting their effort to do something about this. The first thing that needs to be done is stop the breeding. Absolutely, they've got to stop the breeding. It's so inhumane. I mean, I have to tell you something, that when I saw this in the medical records and the keeper records, I could not believe what I was reading. Before an elephant is artificially inseminated, they give her an enema. They are already training a 2-year-old Ashara to accept enemas. At 2 years old, it is disgusting and shameful. And, you know, people need to know what's going on here. It's just horrible.
Wow.
And here we have a zoo where Maylee died of an EEHV, which is the elephant herpes virus. She died of this virus. And, you know, as in humans, stress can cause the virus to break out and become fatal in young Asian elephants. And here they are. They're going to be inseminating Chandra and Asha again, and, you know, it's just mind-boggling.
And that's kind of the fate that, like, Chai suffered throughout her life. How many times was she artificially inseminated?
Chai was artificially inseminated 112 times.
Oh.
And her calf, Hansa, as we know, died of that herpes virus. And we warned the Oklahoma City Zoo, you know, both Bamboo and Chai have been exposed to this virus. You know, introducing new animals into an existing, and in this case, related group, you know, could cause a lot of stress. And don't you know it, Maylee dies of the EEHV virus that Chai had tested positive for. And it's like,
But the timing of this, because you warned, the warnings were there.
They
sent Cheyenne Bamboo to Oklahoma anyway. And then one of their baby elephants, after Cheyenne Bamboo had been there, died of this same herpes virus that Hansa did.
No, it was actually a different strain of Hansa, but it was the same strain
that Chai has.
That Chai had been exposed to when she was at Dickerson Park Zoo.
Wow.
Which also Chandra and Astra had been at Dickerson Park Zoo. So it wasn't actually the strain that Hansa died from, which is the strain carried by African elephants, which obviously Hansa got from Watoto. But it's mind-boggling that, you know, their 4-year-old Naily dies, and now they have a 2-year-old that has already tested positive once, and they gave her medication and she survived. It's so cruel, insensitive. It's just unconscionable.
That doesn't make sense because this 2-year-old Asha, this baby elephant, has already tested positive for one of the herpes strains, and we know that stress can bring that on.
Yes.
But so they're doing enemas with this elephant to prepare her to be artificially inseminated when she's old enough for that.
Exactly.
And oh my gosh, and
you're right. It's mind-boggling. It really is. It's just
it's so sad.
It's so selfish and so, it's so like profit motivated because they know baby elephants bring in the money. They'll claim it's for conservation, but the fact of the matter is, no elephant will ever, out of a zoo, will ever be returned to the wild because you can't. You can't just take an elephant and say, okay, here you go. Now you're in Kenya.
Let's fly you back to Africa. Yeah.
It can't be done. So it's just, all this money that they spend and waste on building elephant exhibits, if they put a fraction of that towards anti-poaching efforts, that's how you save elephants. By buying land and corridors that elephants can walk through to migrate. I mean, that's how you keep elephants in the wild, and that's where they need to be, not in zoos and not in circuses.
Well, Kathy also brought up another question here that. Obviously we all know that bamboo belongs in the sanctuary, and now at Oklahoma they're much closer to the Tennessee sanctuary.
9 hours.
That's a relatively good trip, huh?
It's one day.
Yeah, yeah. One day. Kathy was saying, why can't, with all the money that gets raised, to help the elephants and stuff, why couldn't we just purchase bamboo and take her to the sanctuary? Which sounds like a wonderful idea.
The zoo industry will not let a single elephant out of their clutches.
Yeah.
It's really, for an AZA zoo to give up an elephant to a sanctuary, I guess from their point of view, it looks like they're admitting that they don't have as good an environment. I don't know their internal reasons why they won't give up the elephants, but... in this case, Bamboo, she's post-reproductive, so she's no good for breeding. She's causing stress within this related group of elephants. I mean, there's only three. When I say group, it makes it sound big, but it's Asha and Chandra, who are sisters, and then Ashara is the baby. And so these are a related group. Bamboo is an outsider. So she's causing the equilibrium, whatever they have, to become, stressful. And she's of no benefit to Oklahoma City Zoo. So why won't they let her go? Well, that's the question we'd like to know. and I just think it's zoo ego. And I think that they're afraid that this might set a precedent. I mean, there's who knows what their reasoning is, but it's not in the interest of the animal, and that is clear.
Yeah, very obvious that they don't have the highest and best interest of the elephants at heart. I don't know that they can even be in touch with that. I think their hearts are so closed down related to this, and it has to be an ego thing going on here, because we wouldn't have this issue if there wasn't this going on. Now, it seems to me, though, that the best thing we could do at this point to help is to support this local group back here, the
right.
Oklahoma Friends of Elephants.
Yeah.
Because if what you're saying is they're like the Friends of Woodland Park Zoo elephants years ago when you first guys got started, your work was successful and at the very least got the elephant exhibit shut down here.
That's right. And breeding stopped because Woodland Park Zoo's plans were to build a bull barn behind the existing barn.
Yep.
And then have a half acre for a bull, a half acre. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's what the two male elephants, Rex and Candula, that's their yards are a half acre at the Oklahoma City Zoo.
Yeah,
now,
which
occasionally
is nothing.
They are brought into the larger 2.6 acres where the females are. Occasionally they are brought in there, but they spend the majority of their time either in a half acre or in a barn cell.
It's so cruel. Yeah.
So cruel.
But it seems like the best thing we can do is support this Oklahoma Friends of Elephants organization and help them get up and running and a solid presence going on back there.
And that's exactly what we are doing. Yes, we are.
So how can we help with that?
Well, right now with Facebook, I mean, just like them, and so we need to grow the numbers and ask your friends and family to like the Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, and let's get them, you know, growing so that they have a larger presence and we'll have more, be able to exert more power. And then, like I said, we're making plans of the best way to present the over 200,000 petition to the city and to the zoo. And we have a couple other things in the pipeline, you know, kind of behind closed doors efforts. But, you know, we are running out of options, and we really are dependent upon the compassion of the Oklahoma City Zoo to just let her go. Let her go to the elephant sanctuary. She'll be on 2,100 acres. She'll be with five other female elephants. She can, you know, there's a space to avoid the other, you know, whichever mm-hmm. one she may not get along. And there's also the ability to find companionship of her choice and of their choice.
And to roam and wander and walk.
She'll have the ability to swim in a lake. She'll have the ability to walk on soft meadowlands and her feet can heal. And she's such a damaged animal, and the zoo industry has done that to her. And I don't know, you know, it's just bad karma on the zoo. It just really is.
Yeah, absolutely. But at this point, one could assume maybe that the powers that be back there, the city that owns the zoo and so forth, that they don't really understand yet.
Exactly. It's education.
Yeah, that they, because they've not really been educated to know what's really going on for these elephants. So that's why we want to support the Oklahoma Friends of Elephants. And is that what, when you go to Facebook, search Oklahoma Friends of Elephants, and
exactly.
that will bring up the page?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the big thing, folks, is Oklahoma Friends of Elephants on Facebook. You need to go to that page, like it, tell all your friends about it. I think there's a way on Facebook that you can ask friends to like a page. So you can do that, and then so the more support we give to them, the better. And then of course we just got to see Bamboo at the sanctuary. We just got to visualize that and see that happening.
Yeah.
And bless her heart, because it can't come too soon. Because you know if this drags on too long, you know she's going to go with Chai.
Yeah, she will. And. Yeah, and she's going to be turning 50 soon, so she's getting old, actually, for a zoo elephant, because, as you know, they die young.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's a strong girl. She's you know, she's always had a strong constitution, and mm-hmm. you know, despite what she's going through, you know, she may have many more years of this suffering, and it's just a shame we can't make it the best that it can be, that we have this option to make her life good.
Right. So we will rally the troops and support Oklahoma Friends of Elephants and see if we can't get the energy up and that they can and then in turn educate the mayor and the city. Mm-hmm. And then pay attention to this petition and over 200,000 signatures. That's hopefully it's got to make a difference. We're going to take care of advertisers for the last time in the hour. And then, Aline, you're going to tell us about, you're going to educate us about pandas.
Okay.
All righty. Stay right where you are, everybody. Pandas are up next right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, Animal Intuitive Medium and Reiki Master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at DarcyPariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Working hard to put a smile on your face. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon today, and every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's a shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, and we're just finishing up with our friend. We know her as the co-founder of the Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and I consider her our animal elephant expert, and she knows a lot about other animals too. So Aline Fortgang is here, and we're gonna change boats in midstream here. And I didn't have a chance, Aline. As you know, I was just beat last night after all that driving and working yesterday. I didn't get a chance to read what you sent me about pandas, so I'm almost afraid to ask. What do we need to know about pandas?
Because it's just another sad story of how we exploit animals, in this case for politics and for money. Ron Chow, who is a wealthy industrialist or exporter, importer down in Tacoma, thought it would be a good idea to bring pandas to the to Seattle, because there are only 4 zoos in the U.S. that have pandas, and he thought we should have one. And here we go again, you know. Ooh. We got to do it for our ego. I'll get into what it costs, but I think maybe what Ron Chow doesn't know is how sad it is for pandas, the lives that they are forced to lead. So there are several breeding factories, I would call them, in China. There have been about 500 pandas bred.
And we see evidence of that on Facebook all the time. There's pictures of all these lots and lots and lots of panda babies and stuff.
Yeah, well, the breeding is so inhumane. We'll get to that. It's just, anyway, it's just so sad. So anyway, so
well,
this,
but I think see, I think we're into something new here, and we're going to need to spend more time with this stuff because you know we only see these pandas as really cute and entertainment, you know, on
right.
Facebook stuff. But you're saying this isn't good. What would a normal life be for a panda?
Well, pandas are very, they are intensely private. They're very private animals. They avoid human contact or being looked at. If they have the choice, they want to be private. They want to be away. And the life that they have in these breeding factories and in zoos is the total opposite of a ghost against their nature.
Yeah.
In these breeding factories, they have people, they sit in a bare cell with lights on 24/7, with people staring at them 24/7. They're people are shouting at them, people are smoking cigarettes, their metal doors are opening and closing and slamming.
Wow.
And there's nowhere for them to run, there's nowhere for them to hide. I mean, in a way, that's a form of torture for
yeah.
them,
wow.
the nature and the private animals that they are. And it just causes such suffering. And then, you know, not unlike elephants, the babies are taken away from their mothers at as early as 1 month old. Now, panda babies stay with the cubs, stay with their mothers for the first 2 years of their life, where they learn social interaction, they learn how to survive. Instead, at these breeding factories, these panda cubs are taken from their mother between 1 and 3 months old. Then the mother is put right back into pumping out more babies.
Oh.
They're a baby. They become baby machines. And why does the Chinese do this? Because it's good money. The Chinese government charges $1 million a year to rent a pair of pandas. $1 million a year,
oh,
and the zoo is required to have these pandas for 10 years. So off the bat, it's a $10 million. That the zoo has to plunk down in order to get these pandas. Then once they're there, when a baby panda is born, there's a $400,000 baby tax paid to the Chinese government.
Wow!
And if the cub should die, there's a $500,000 fine. It's all about money. It's
wow.
it's this political, you know, like panda diplomacy, we're going to bring in pandas and it's going to improve relations with China. It's just another way of using animals to their detriment.
Yeah, and it looks like though the pandas are now off the endangered species list. I don't know who typed this up. It was Kathy or Mike, but they said that it was Kathy. The source was the BBC. That they're off the endangered species list. I wonder if that's because of all the baby factories and stuff.
Well, it could be. It could be. But the point I was making earlier of the 500 who have been, about 500 who have been bred, 5 have been released to the wild, and only 3 have survived.
Wow.
So, point
wow.
is, this is not about conservation.
Not about conservation.
It's not about the survival of pandas.
It's about money.
It's about money. And politics.
So the important thing we want to get out today is that there's apparently a move by this, what, Ron Chow, you were saying?
Yeah, it's Ron Chow and former Governor John Spellman. They formed what's called the Washington Panda Foundation, and they are trying to interest either Point Defiance Zoo or Woodland Park Zoo in taking on pandas.
Well, that would be like we'd have to rent $1 million pair? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
For 10 years, you know the interesting thing is the 4 U.S. zoos that have pandas and the Toronto Zoo. So the 5 zoos that we have information on, they all lose money when they bring in the pandas. You know, there's this initial flurry of people to go see them, and then the interest wanes. And
so what's the motivation for this Ron Chow and former Governor Spellman? What do they care whether we have? Well, why are they pushing to have us spend this much money and have pandas?
I think it's a political thing, because there was a letter written that included Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and like 40 politicians, and I think it's a political, you know. Chai was given to us as a gift, you know, and uh-huh. it's these it's government diplomacy. I mean, elephants are given by, you know, other you know, the
so let's make nice to China by renting their $1 million pandas.
Right.
Well, that's really
disgusting. It's called elephant diplomacy, and now this is panda diplomacy.
Okay, so it sounds like we need to make everyone aware in this area, and somehow we need to stand up and say, hey, we don't want $1 million pandas from China.
Right, right. And, you know, we're beginning to mobilize on this. And,
are
you? Know,
okay.
You know, we've written letters to Ron Chow, to John Spellman. They, of course, did not answer. We've written to both zoos, Point Defiance and Woodland Park Zoo, and told them that this is not going to be acceptable.
Yeah,
and they're going to be inviting the same problems that they had by bringing in the elephant, by breeding elephants and keeping elephants. They're inviting the same dark cloud over their institution.
Good. So you're letting them know that
oh, yeah,
troops are ready to rally here, and this is not going to just be pulled off. I mean, because we care about the pandas, and they don't belong here in Washington State.
You know, we can't play into this game that China is playing, you know, charging all this money. But the most important thing is that China is causing these animals to suffer greatly. And if we take pandas, we are part of that problem of causing these pandas to suffer.
Wow.
You know, there was a picture, you know, probably going around on the internet of a mother and baby cub, and the baby cub had the hiccups. Oh, it was so cute. The cub had a hiccup. But look at where they are. They're in the cement cell. They're sitting on concrete. It's just horrible. It's just horrible.
Okay, well, we'll have a new mission here, and that's to educate everybody about the plight of pandas and what these you know, delightful creatures are being exposed to, and what it all boils down to.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
politics and money.
And you know, Ron Chow just maybe wanted to do this because he thinks it's a good idea, and kids will like to come, and it's entertainment. But I hope that he learns and educates himself on these individuals, these pandas as individuals who have their innate instincts and needs and wants and understand how harmful it is for them to be bred and kept in zoos.
All right. Well, then I'm hoping, are you staying in town for a while? Will you be around the first Sunday of December?
I think so.
Okay,
I'll check
your calendar, because maybe we could start earlier, like at 9:30 or something, and have an hour and a half, so we'd have more time, you know, to talk about elephants and the pandas and what's going on and anything else that's going on with wildlife around the world that we need to know about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All righty. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here, and I think that's – so is anything – we know that we need to get on Facebook and like Oklahoma Friends of Elephants. –
Yes.
Get other people to like the page and start supporting and maybe sharing what they're posting, because they are gearing up to educate the city of Oklahoma and see if we can't get Bamboo moved out to the sanctuary. The other thing we need to start is paying attention to anything you hear about bringing pandas to either of our zoos here in Washington, to the Point Defiance Zoo or the Woodland Park Zoo, and let the powers be know that... it isn't going to fly. It's just not acceptable, and especially understanding this money game. So is there anybody to contact now at this point, or should we just pay attention to Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephant page on Facebook? And
right. Yeah, that's probably the best thing. We haven't done a whole lot yet, you know, outside of letters. But yes, we're gearing up to help the pandas.
All right. Well, I will pay more attention to what's going on that page so I can share it as well. And then we'll plan to have you back on with us again a month from now, and you can fill us in on what's going on, and we can spend more time on this all. I think we need to really be talking about this panda stuff.
Yes. Let's hope for some good news.
Yeah. All righty. So think good thoughts for Bamboo and the elephants and the pandas. And
yes,
thank you so much, Aline. And I look forward, you know, even though it's not pleasant, I look forward to our next conversation. We need to know this stuff. All righty. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, everybody. Pray for the Bamboo and the elephants. Pray for the pandas. And let's not let it get started here in our state. Alrighty then, we are going to close out hour number two and fire up hour number three, and we're going to follow up first off with Missy from Animal Talk and Missy's Rescue, and then finish with our resident Naya Swami, Reman McGillaway from Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. I hope he can, hopefully he'll bring us all back to peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Alrighty, stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.